Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, who loves us, you are full of mercy and love. We are living the end times you have planned. Among the many people of this world, you have called us out first and saved us. Among all the evil sins of this world and the hypocrisy of it, you have consecrated us. We thank you for guiding our lives in your guidance for our remaining lives. We serve you, we praise your word, and we preach your word, and we thank you for allowing us to be inside your church and be in your ministry. Brothers and sisters, saved by your blood, are gathered here together. We praise your great love and grace. We learn your holy word, and we thank you for allowing us to be inside this holy fellowship. In this time, please look after each and every one of us. With your merciful hands, please hold on to each person's soul. In our hearts, in our life, if there are any sins that are not right in front of you, or if there are any hidden sins, let it be revealed in front of the light of your word, and by the power of your precious blood, let us stand clean inside your truth, and let us live without embarrassment as your children for our remaining lives. In this time, there are brothers and sisters who couldn't be here today. To those who are sick, Lord, please heal them quickly. To those who are in their difficult situations and their weaknesses, Father, please provide your righteous grace to each and every one of them so that no one stumbles down. Far away abroad, all over the world, there are many brothers and sisters keeping their faith, preaching the gospel in very difficult situations. Please remember each and every one of them, and please help them and hold them with your power of your word and your strength. Let them preach your gospel in these end times. And all over the world, there are many diseases, and many people are worried because of these new diseases. Please protect us from all these diseases and plagues. Please help us, protect us, so that nothing can fight against us. And please provide us what we need in our soul and our flesh. Please let us be strong. Give us the word according to due season. And this time as well, please open your word that you want to give us today. Let us know how we have to live. We pray it in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's open the Bible, New Testament, Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. Let's read together. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, all over the world, the new coronavirus is all over the world. Many people in China have died, and even right now, many people are infected and are in pain. This disease is spread all over the world, and it's a big problem for the whole world right now. Thankfully, in Korea, there is nobody who died because of the coronavirus yet. I believe that the treatment is going well in Korea, and I hope that since the weather is getting a bit warmer, that I don't know, maybe the coronavirus likes the cold weather, so as the weather gets better, maybe things will get better. If you look at the Bible in Jeremiah, it says, "Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them," in Jeremiah 10 verse 2. Now, it's not only these diseases, but there are many disasters all over the world, and it is endangering our lives. So many people are worried and fearing. But we are born-again Christians, and we know that the God that saved our souls from the day we are born again until we enter heaven, He protects us, He guides us. We believe in His promise. We know that God helps us, so we do not need to be too worried about this disease. Of course, we have to be careful about what we can, washing our hands and sanitation overall. God protects our health, but if we are not careful about keeping our own health, let's say we eat anything or go to places that are dangerous, but then God may not protect us. Let's say we know that God protects us from car crashes, and we always pray, God, protect us in this journey. But let's say we violated the law. We speeded up too much, or I don't know. And then there's an accident. Well, God can't always help us with that when we violate the law. But we know that God protects us, so we don't have to be too worried. I guess this time, this week, there are less people who have a mask on, but it's okay. Put on a mask if you want to. It's okay. Right now in Korea, all the schools, daycare centers are shut down, and many organizations, institutes, so they are canceling all kinds of meetings. But we as Christians, we should be careful, and those who don't believe will be very afraid about the disease. But we are Christians, we don't have to be too worried and feared about this disease. In these times, we have to rely on God even more and stand strongly in our faith and live life obeying the word of God. In Revelation 3 verse 10, it says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial." When we keep the word of God, God protects that person. He protects those who keep His word. So in these times, in these difficult times, we have to be closer to God, pray more, and obey the word of God more. We should live a life separated from this world as Christians. On Sunday morning, we are learning about the status and life of born-again Christians. We are continuing this lesson for the past few weeks. Many people desire the Word of God, and many are gathered here together. Last week, I had a Bible seminar at Iksan. in Korea, there were many newcomers, and the whole church was all crowded. And I see that more people gathered compared to the past Bible seminars. There's no empty seats. And those who came late, they sat at the choir seat at the back. And it's not good to stand up to listen to the whole sermon, right? And today as well, we are going to learn about the status of born-again Christians. And we are going to learn what is the life living up to that status as a Christian. And we should know what we learn, we should remember it, and we should also keep it. The most important thing about our status is that we are the children of God. In 1 John 3 verse 1 it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." By the love of God, our sin was forgiven, our souls were saved, and we were made the children of God. There's nothing more surprising than that we are the children of God. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is my Father. Isn't that surprising? Some people say that, oh, I am the son of the king. Then he's a prince, right? Some people are the son of an entrepreneur. They have great glory. But those things will soon go away. There are even people who live a worse life because they are those kind of people. But we are the children of God. And it's not something that will just go away and disappear. He wants to give us eternal inheritance. So being the Son of God, we have to have assurance and we should have pride that we are children of God. There are many things to be jealous about of this world. Being rich, having a lot of fame and power, honor. But we don't have to be jealous about that. We are the children of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. His kingdom is mine. In John 14 verse 2 it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." In our Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, we are learning about how we have to live as born-again Christians. And please try to review what you have learned in the sermons. In our homepage, on the next day, you could find the sermons uploaded. jbch.org. And also in Korea we have an IPTV channel, a cable channel, and if you go to channel 100, then the whole channel is our sermons. And when we listen to the word of God again and again, and when it's inscribed in our hearts, we could keep the word in our life. Last time, we learned about Matthew 5 verse 48. "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." We learned that verse last week. Now, God requests something from his children. There's something he wants from his children, and it's quite surprising. The standard given to Christians is quite high. We were far away from God because of our sins. We lived among our sins. Because of our evil deeds, we were enemies with God. But by the unconditional love of God Jesus Christ died for us, and the wrath and judgment that was bound to us was taken away by Jesus, we were saved without any works from our side, and unconditional love made us his children. That is God's love, his grace. When we were born again, we were born again as poor sinners, but after we are born again, we are his children. And we should live as the children of God. We should live up to that status. He gives us his word, life, and power after we are born again. Let's say you have children, then you want to raise up your children healthy and good, right? And as much as the parents are good people, they try to raise up their children as good people. Without the efforts of the parents, without the continuous love of the parents, the children can't grow up. If a child is born, the parents go away, and the child's an orphan, and nobody takes care of the child, then that child could grow up like an animal. And God gave life to us, and he nurtures us. So he wants us to be perfect just as he is perfect. God is perfect. And God tells us to be as perfect as he is. And when we think about it, it's kind of weird. We are sinners. We were just saved. We still have sin inside us because we have the sinful nature inside us. Sometimes we have lust of the world. We love the world sometimes. We want to obey the word of God, but we feel that we are so weak. But God looks at us and says, "Be perfect as I am perfect." But does he ask something that is impossible? No, it is possible. He helps us so that we may be perfect as he is. So, after we are born again, how does God make us perfect? We have to learn through the Bible. We can learn what is the way that God makes us perfect. So, last time, we read in Matthew 6 verse 9, "In this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Jesus taught us a prayer, and he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Pray like this, he said, "Hallowed be your name." If the Son wants to honor the name of the Father, he has to be holy as the Father is. He has to be very careful in his daily life. Look at Israel. When they disobeyed God, they were cursed instead of blessed, and they profaned the name of God. And now by the love of Jesus Christ, we are made children of God. Rather than the people of God, we are the children of God. It's a lot higher status than just people. We are God's children. And Jesus tells us, pray like this, "Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We have to honor the name of the Father. And the Bible talks about what is to hallow the name of God. If we are the children of God, we have to learn how to keep his word. And in Hebrews 12 verse 1, in the verses we just read, in verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," now, in Corinth, in a long time ago, they had the Olympics, and they had a lot of sports developed, and they had races. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." So if they want to get the crown, they have to keep the rules. There is a rules of the race. If, let's say, the rules are to run a circle, then you have to run a circle. You can't just go a line or something. There are rules. And also there are rules in our Christian life. Our Christian life is about pushing towards the goal, running towards the goal. We don't go here and there, but we have a goal, we have a course, and we have to run that way. We have to run towards the goal in place. And the Bible says that Christian life is like a running race. And here as well, in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And in the first part, it says, "Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," let's say that you're watching the Olympic Games, and there's the players and also the crowd, and the crowd is watching if the players are doing a good job. And the cloud, great cloud of the greater cloud of witnesses are the saints before us. You know, Abel was the first born again person, and Enoch, by faith, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And from then, Hebrews 11 talks about faith, the people of faith. Noah made the ark with faith. And there are many people of faith that are written in Hebrews chapter 11. And they are already in heaven and looking at us, running our race of faith. If we're doing well, if we are ready, if we're trying to fall down because we are so tired, they try to cheer us up. There are so great a cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us. Those who are running the race take away whatever can be an obstacle for the race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So when you look at runners, they are in their running clothes, right? They don't have a heavy burden on them, or they don't have clothes that have too much air resistance. And just like that, in our Christian life, in our race, we have to throw away that doesn't help us. No matter how much the world loves this and that, if it's not good for our faith, we have to throw it away. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It is expressed that being in the palace as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter is a sin. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now, Egypt was a very rich country back then, and rather than all the riches and the treasures in Egypt, Moses thought that suffering with the people of God is a lot better. Right now, the Pharaoh is nothing but a mummy, right? And his grave is digged up, and the Pharaohs are at a museum in Egypt. No matter what kind of life they lived when they were alive, it's nothing after death. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses wanted to suffer for God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in this world. He looked to the reward. He knew that the eternal reward to come was a lot better. He threw away everything. You know, the Olympic athlete, for the glory of victory, even if he's about to die to finish the race, he gives all he has to finish the race. And even in these games, we see the athletes running with their life, giving everything they have. And we are Christians. We have a different status of the world. We have a different purpose of life. We have a firm purpose of life, so our way of life is completely different from the people of the world. It has to be different. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Why do we need endurance? Look at the runner. He's having a hard time, right? But he still endures to finish the race. We were saved without any works from our side. It's easy, right? But until, from the date we are born again, until we enter the kingdom of heaven, there are many difficulties in our life, and we need endurance to finish this race. Also in Hebrews 10:36, it says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. To do the will of God, there's many sufferings, afflictions. But if we have endurance until the end, hope will be fulfilled. It doesn't mean that we will be saved. We are already saved. After we have done the will of God, we may receive the promise of reward. Some people say, oh, I'm born again. Do I need reward? Oh, just heaven is good. But you should know, God didn't save us just to be saved, but He wants us to have eternal glory and reward. Salvation is given for free, but the glory isn't. We have to gain glory through a lot of affliction, a lot of suffering, and that is valuable. Let's say we meet God right now. We'll see the glory of Moses, the glory of Elijah, the glory of Isaiah, Peter, Paul. All their glories are different, and it's going to be amazing, right? We will see all the glories of the saints before us. And let's say we are at the back, the end of the race. And when the rewards are given, somebody gets this reward, that reward, and I get nothing. And do you think that's going to be okay? You're going to be embarrassed. But it's not just like the races of the world. You get a medal or a reward and it's over. But the reward that God gives us lasts forever. It is eternal glory. When we go to heaven, we will think about our life in this world. We knew the will of God. We didn't live up to the will of God. Then we're going to regret it. If I knew this was going to happen, which I did, I would have lived better than I have. Oh, I lost my heart to the things of the world. I was a coward. Maybe we could regret when we go to heaven, but it's too late. We still have the opportunity to live for God while we're in this world, and we should not lose our opportunity. So, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author of our faith. He is the Lord that saved us. He gave us the grace to believe in Him. He gave us the truth to believe in. He gave us faith through the Holy Spirit. Through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit worked inside our hearts and our soul. Our souls were saved and we can go to heaven. He gave us the faith. The author of faith means that He is the source of faith. He is the creator of faith. and the finisher of our faith. In a different translation, it says the perfecter of our faith. Jesus gave us faith and he makes us perfect. Although we are born again, we are still so weak. He makes us more perfect every day. A little baby is born, but the baby, when he's born, he doesn't know who his parents are. He doesn't know that he's naked in a diaper. He doesn't know what he has to eat or what not to eat. He tries to eat anything. But as the baby grows up, the body grows up, the personality grows up. And the baby grows up as a person. One person said before, it's all man, a man should be a man to be a man. Does it make sense? A person should be like a person to be a person. There are people who are humans but live like animals. Then people say, oh, you beast, you animal. And some people live like a dog, a pig, a bear. I'm sorry to say that, but there are people who are the children of God, but you have to grow up in your faith to really live like the children of God. God saved us, and God is the one that makes our faith perfect. That means he makes our faith grow up. Our heart, our life, resembles God more and more. He makes us into people who are qualified to enter his kingdom of heaven. He makes us perfect. We, all of us, receive some kind of education, and there is the purpose of education. It is to make a person like a person. It is to form the right personality in that person. But these days, it's more about just teaching knowledge rather than how to become a good person. Actually, just teaching knowledge, that is not the purpose of education. Education should change that person into a better person. What is the reason we learn the Bible? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The doctrine makes us know God and Jesus, and we have to learn again and again. And 2 Peter 3 verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. It means growing in our personality as well. So, to do so, what do we have to do? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It lets us know about God more and more. It lets us know the love of God. It lets us know what is the will of God. For reproof, for correction. Correction means fixing what is wrong. After we are born again, through the Word of God, we learn who God is, how we should live as his children. We look at the Bible, look at us, and fix what is wrong. If we know something is wrong and don't fix it, it's wrong. We have to fix one by one, throw away one by one. We have to correct ourselves. So, let's say there's a sculptor. He gets a piece of wood. You know, I went to a place and there's this tree that was struck by lightning. It's a very old tree. It got struck by lightning, it died. And the people, the sculptor, got this wood and made it into a sculpture, and it was a masterpiece. Wow. He got the wood and made a sculpture out of it, made a masterpiece out of it. It was beautiful. And we are pieces of sin. We should go to hell. God saved us. And just like making a sculpture, he makes us. In order to make a good sculpture, you have to you have to take off everything that you don't need. And as a chunk is chunked out one by one, it becomes a sculpture. And we, after we are born again, we have to throw away a lot. We have to cut off a lot of things. We have to correct what is wrong, throw away what is wrong. When we wash our faces and look at the mirror, you want it to look good, right? We try to make ourselves look good. We clean ourselves. Some people put on makeup. We put on good clothes. We want to look good when people look at us, right? But we should not look good to people, but look good to God. We have to fix ourselves. We have to cut off what we don't need. We have to become perfect. That is for correction. For reproof. If we do something wrong, we have to get scolded for correction. For instruction in righteousness. And we grow up in the church more and more as the people of God, as the children of God. We have to be more like the Father in heaven more and more. As much as my heart, my personality grows up and becomes more perfect, my life will become more perfect. We have to become more and more perfect, just like the Father in heaven is perfect. It could happen. We could be perfect, not by our own strength, but by the grace of God. After we're born again, God gives us grace again and again and all the time. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, our life, our heart will be fixed, corrected. Sundays, Wednesdays, we learn the Bible. Why? To gain more knowledge? What are you going to do with that knowledge? No, the purpose of learning the Word of God is to learn what the will of God is. We want to live as the children of God. When we find something wrong in our life through the Word of God, we have to fix it. So, more and more, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord that saved us. Jesus is the one that gave us this valuable faith. He is the finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. What does it mean? It means that we fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the world, look at Jesus. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's say there's a painter and there's a model in front of him, and he draws the model. He draws eyes, the face, hair, this and that. When he draws a building, he draws the bricks and this and that. Just like that, when we looking unto Jesus, it means we have to look at the eternal Lord, look at the Lord that came to this world, look at the life of the Lord in this world, look at his sufferings, look at his death, the resurrection, look at who Jesus is. It's written in the Bible. This Bible testifies of me, it says. Although we did not see Jesus with our eyes, we could draw him in our hearts by learning the Bible. So, the personality of Christ should be formed inside me. You know, mothers, when they have children, when they're pregnant, they do prenatal training, right? When the baby's still in the belly, they give some kind of education. Maybe they hang a picture of somebody they respect and look at that person and think of what the wonderful things that person did. The mother tries to think good things, and they think that the child in the belly will become good as that person is. I don't know if it works, but I guess it's better. It's something nice to do. It's better than the mother who is pregnant thinking about bad things and doing bad things. It will definitely affect the child. And we should look unto Jesus. Through the Bible, we have to look at Jesus again and again and again, and then more and more he will be formed in my heart, and we will live like Jesus more and more in our daily life. We should become more and more like Jesus and be perfect like he is. In John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now, there's nobody who saw God, but through Jesus Christ we could know God. When Philip said, "Oh, Lord, show us the Father." But Jesus said, "If you saw me, you saw the Father. Why did you tell me, show me the Father?" God has shown himself through Jesus Christ. Those who have seen me have seen the Father. Through Jesus, God's power is revealed. He made the storm calm down. It means that he is the creator. He resurrected the dead. He gives us life. He could kill us or let us live. He healed the leper. He could heal sinners. Through Jesus, we could see the love of God. Through Jesus, he has shown mercy towards sinners. When we see Jesus, we could see God. Jesus is the one who manifests God the most. The Word became flesh. In the beginning there was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Through the Word of God, God revealed himself, and the Word came to this world with flesh. Through Jesus, we can learn more about God. God shows himself through Jesus. So when we look into Jesus, we can see who God is. We have to become like Jesus. Have this heart in your hearts, the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ is the heart of God. Jesus shows God. When we believe in Jesus, the life of Jesus is formed inside us. The love of God is formed inside us. The heart of God is formed inside us. The Lord said, "Have this in your heart, the heart of Christ." God gave us life and spirit. God gave us his heart. He changes us and makes us perfect like he is. If we wanted, it could happen. We could be perfect. People say, "Oh, how could I be perfect as God is?" We're living in this world full of sin, and how can we live like God? How can we be perfect like God? People think it doesn't happen, it will not happen, and give up. But God says you should be, and it will happen. It could happen. He said if the disciple is like the teacher, it is good. What did Jesus say when he washed the feet of his disciples? "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Whatever Jesus has done was done to give us an example. To do as I have done to you. Jesus did this, and I won't do it even if I die. Is that following God? Did you really receive the gospel and the love of Christ? We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, whether we are awake or sleeping, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have to look carefully at Jesus. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had joy that was set before him. Jesus suffered shame and suffering. He took all the pain man can, and he was hung on the cross. He took the worst shame a person could take. Jesus is God himself, the King of glory, the King of kings, the host of hosts, died as the worst sinner of the world. He was forsaken by God. He was hung on the cross. The Roman soldiers beat Jesus, spat on him, beat him up. But Jesus was just silent. Why? Jesus died, and 3 days later, he will be raised. He knew that he will be raised after death. When he died as a bad sinner, but the resurrected Christ became as glorious as God is. As glorious as God is, and he entered the glory of God. So in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11 it says, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the Old Testament, the sufferings and the glory of Jesus was written and prophesied. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he will come back as the King of Kings. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't care about the shame. He thought it was nothing. Oh, this much of shame, I could take it. Jesus was judged. He was crucified. He was despised. He was beaten up. He took the cross. You've seen that scene that Jesus was crucified, right? Think about it. Think about all of it. But Jesus despised the shame. He was happy to take the suffering. Why? Because there was joy that was set before him. There was eternal glory before him. He despised the shame. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The right hand of the throne of God is the most glorious place. Now, we are saved by the amazing grace of God. We have to look unto Jesus. We have to become more like him. And then he makes us more and more perfect every day. When we were saved as a sinner that was bound to hell and just saved. But after we are born again, God raises us up, changes us into a person that is qualified for heaven. If we are saved, live in our flesh, and then die, I'm not sure if that kind of person is really born again. But born again people could follow the flesh sometimes. But when you meet Jesus, won't you be very embarrassed? The Bible says he wants to let us stand without any spot and be blameless. Shouldn't we be blameless when we stand in front of the Lord? So, the Lord makes us more and more perfect. Jesus is equal to God. He is the only begotten Son of God, but he threw away all of his glory and came down to this world and became man. In the form of a servant. He is equal to God, but he humbled himself. He threw away his throne and came down to this world in the form of a slave. and he obeyed until death. It is unconditional obedience. He came as a servant. He served sinners, he served God, he died. The servant serves the master until death. Jesus came as a servant. He completely humbled himself, and then he entered glory. Now, we have to become like that Lord, our Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Let's read together. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. God created everything and is maintained. The world is maintained by him. God is the creator. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory. God only had one begotten son before, but he wanted many sons. One grain of wheat did not die. If a grain of wheat does not die, it cannot bear a lot of food. If the Son of God doesn't die, many sons cannot be born. He wants to save us, but he has to do something about our sin. If he wants to take care of our sin, a sinless man has to die. And he took all the sins of the world and gave it to Jesus. One died for all and all died. Jesus died, our sins were cleansed, and he was resurrected, and Jesus is the first son of many sons. He is the first son of many sons. In bringing many sons to glory, for this, the Lord suffered to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, in order to bring many sons to glory. What is that? He saved us. He saved sinners bound to hell. And Christians should not sit at the back seat of heaven. He wants us to enter the glory. If we go to heaven, there will be angels. Angels cannot become the Son of God. For a fallen angel, for Satan and his angels, Jesus did not die for them. Jesus did not die for Satan or his angels. They have a different status. And in bringing many sons to glory, who? Born-again Christians, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The Lord of salvation became perfect through sufferings. It doesn't say that the captain of salvation suffered, but it says to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What does it mean? If the Lord wants to become the Lord of salvation, he has to go through sufferings. He is not only our Lord that we believe in, he is the Lord of salvation. He is the King of kings, the host of hosts, the captain of salvation. He is the Lord that makes us perfect, but to make us perfect, he has to become perfect first. And how does he become perfect? Through sufferings. How did he suffer? He obeyed until death. He was made perfect through sufferings. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Read together. Though he was a son, Yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Though he was a son, Jesus was the Son of God. Yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus is the Son of God. Does the Son need to be suffered? Does he have to suffer? No. But in order to become the captain of our salvation, he suffered. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, Jesus suffered, and he learned obedience, and then became perfect. Why does it say this? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected. By sufferings, he learned obedience. It's not just obedience, but he learned obedience through suffering. When we are in a good condition, we could obey the word of God, right? When we are having a peaceful time, we could listen to God. But real obedience is when we are poor, when we are in difficulty, in sufferings, in affliction. When we are suffering a hard time, when we rely only on God and obey the word of God, that is true obedience. Look at Job. He was a righteous man in front of God. But Job had 10 children, served God well. He was a very rich man in the East. But God gave great sufferings to Job. The 10 children died in one day. All of his possessions were gone. The robbers came and took it away. The servants were all killed. All his flock was gone. That was not it. God praised Job, and then the Satan said, "Oh, that's because you blessed him. Try taking it away and look at what he does." It was all taken away. What did Job say? God gives, God takes. God's name be blessed. Job did not curse God. He said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amazing, right? And God said to Satan, look at Job. He still praises God. Oh, his body is in a good condition. Try beating up his body. Then he's going to curse you, Satan said. Okay, I'll let you do that. But spare his life. And suddenly, Job had all painful boils from his foot to his head. He took a potsherd to scrape himself. He even cursed that he was born. He was in great pain. And his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Even his wife is saying these kind of things. And his three friends came from a faraway place, and they looked at Job and, "What is this?" They couldn't talk for 3 days and just was silent. But afterwards they said, Hey, Job, look, is there anybody who was cursed like this without sin? You did something wrong. And Job said, No, I didn't sin. I gave to the poor. I never took away somebody else's wife. I didn't steal anything from anybody. He really lived a righteous life. After he went through all the offerings, as we all know, he was blessed, he was healthy again, he had 10 children again. And he got even more than what he had before. In James 5:11, it says, Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. When we see the patience and perseverance of Job, we can learn obedience. No matter what kind of sufferings we may have, we should rely on God. Job was blessed even twice more than he had. And I think this is a shadow of the blessings and reward in heaven. Again, twice as much in the world, it doesn't mean a lot. You have to get a lot in heaven. Even in his affliction and sufferings, Job relied only on God. Why did God give Job a hard time? He really gave a very, very painful time to Job. But Job did not leave God. He relied only in God. And if you look at Job, it says, Even if God kills me, I will have my attitude towards God firm. It meant that even if God kills me, I'll still praise God. After he went through the sufferings, Job's faith was something different than before. And we should know that God disciplines us through sufferings. He makes us perfect through sufferings. That's what Jesus did. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And born-again Christians can become perfect more and more through sufferings. Christians should not hate sufferings. When we suffer, we say, Oh God, have you forsaken me? Why are you giving these kind of sufferings? No. Look at Israel. They lived as slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They had a promised land. They didn't get it right away. For 40 years, they had to go through the wilderness. They had to go through the desert 40 years. For 40 years, God trained them to obey God. All those who disobeyed died in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. And those who were born newly in the wilderness entered the promised land. Only those who cannot remember Egypt remained. What does this mean? After we are born again, we will have to go through the wilderness. We have to go through the wilderness to enter the promised land. This world is the wilderness. If we disobey God, it's like looking back at Egypt. All the Israelites who disobeyed God died one by one. Just like that, we have to kill that is against God inside us one by one. Our soul is born again, and we have to look toward the reward. God trains us. We shouldn't think, Oh, I'm born again, I'll just go to heaven, I don't need a reward. We shouldn't think like that. That's wrong. That's not the will of God. As much as the glory in heaven is precious, We have to be qualified. We have to change our life. What do you think? There are so many verses like this in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20. Verse 20 and 21. Let's read together. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now here, the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd that died for us. We should follow the good shepherd, the Lord, our Lord Jesus. How can we follow him? Whoever wants to follow me should deny himself and take up his own cross. The shepherd dies for the sheep. And he protects us and guides us until we go to heaven. He doesn't just say that and don't do it, but he makes us perfect like he is. He raises up the sheep. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. And it says, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. If we want to do good, our faith, our personality should become more and more like Jesus. It has to become perfect. There are people who don't have personality. While we live in this world, we see all kinds of people. It's very difficult to find a person with good personality. And when we find those people who have good personality, they are very careful when they speak. They are very careful in their deeds. And it's a really good, they are really good role models, good examples. They don't harm anybody. They do good work. And if we want to do good work, what do we have to do? We have to become perfect. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Make you complete. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You know, how we talk, how we act, we have to be careful. We have to look back on ourselves. What's happening with our personality? Am I really the Son of God? Am I living like a Son of God? Am I following Jesus or am I following the devil? We shouldn't follow the devil. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. The Lord that saved us, the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord makes us complete more and more. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. As much as we become perfect, complete, we could do the work of God. Of course, this is not something that could be done only by our will and strength. We have to be helped by the Holy Spirit. But doesn't mean that we just stay still. No. We have to pray more. We have to learn the Bible more. Try to keep the word. Obey the word more. We have to want to become perfect in the Lord. What is well pleasing in His sight. And it says that Jesus, who, because of the joy set before Him, despised the shame. And at the time of this book was written, there were a lot of afflictions and difficulties for Christians. There was a lot of persecution for Christians at the time. And they endured it. They obeyed the word. What about today? Do we preach the gospel and go to jail? Well, some places it may happen. Are we beaten up? Are we killed because we preach the gospel? Doesn't happen so often. While we live in this world, we should be away from the worthless things of the world. We should be away from the lust of the flesh. We should try to obey the word of God and keep the word of God. There may be some kind of sacrifice that is a suffering as well. Trying to live according to the Spirit, not the flesh, to do so, there needs to be sacrifice. There needs to be sufferings to live like that. What I could do for myself, if I do for the Lord, if I give my time, my money, my talent for God, that could be some kind of suffering. Through suffering, we are made perfect. Working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. He wants us to do what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We have to do this to glorify the Lord. We should glorify God who saved us, right? Whether we live or die, we should do for the Lord. Whatever is not a glory to God is a sin. You know? If we know to do good and don't do it, it's a sin. The people of the world think doing something evil, doing something bad, that's a sin. Well, that's right. Christians shouldn't do that. But we should do the good will of God. We should fulfill the will of God. If we know the good will of God and don't do it, that's a sin. That is disobedience. So more and more, we have to follow Jesus. That's what God wants. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hebrews, James, and then Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Let's read together. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, it means that He saved us. He called us and separated us from the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He saved us so we could enter His eternal glory. Eternal glory. In Romans 8, verse 17, it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And we should suffer with Christ, and then we will be glorified together with him. In Romans 8 verse 18 it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The suffering is a little while right now. The glory is forever. The suffering we take is a very small thing. Even if we suffer, what's the worst thing? Dying? The suffering is temporary, but after that, the glory lasts forever. God prepared the reward in heaven. He's waiting to give it to us. So it cannot be compared. It's not worthy to compare it. But because we can't believe in that, what, eternal glory, I don't need that, I'm just going to enjoy my life in this world. Oh, I don't want suffering, I hate sacrifice, I'm going to live however I want to. People just don't throw that away. People are so stubborn, they just don't listen. Why? Why? It's because they can't believe in this verse. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. When this epistle was written, so many Christians suffered. A lot died. Even Peter, he was preaching in Rome, he was captured, he died upside down on the cross. Because there is eternal glory, they all take it. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 it says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Apostle Paul imitated Christ in his whole life. It's just like Christ's life was shown through Paul. The whole life of Paul was suffering for Christ. To preach the gospel, he was hungry, beaten up, cold. He was beaten up so many times, stoned almost to death, imprisoned. There were so many sufferings. And finally, he was beheaded in Rome. Wow. In Galatians 6 verse 17 it says, "From now on let no one trouble me, for I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The traces of Jesus' suffering was shown in Paul's life. Wow. Amazing man. Jesus showed God through his life. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." And Jesus said, "Those who have seen me have seen the Father." The whole life of Jesus was for our salvation, and at the same time he showed who God was, and he showed how a born-again Christian should live. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, being lowly, being gentle, means being silent. Whether people curse you or praise you or persecute you, you just be silent, like a lamb going to the slaughter. He did not open his mouth. When the Jews persecuted Jesus, they cursed him, told lies, but he did not say a thing. He gave the judgment to the judge up high. You know, I saw sheep being fleeced. There's a lot of fleeced there when they get this razor and just shave. And the sheep, even if it bleeds, is just silent. It's just like if it's dead. But after the job is done, you let it go, it runs away. But when the sheep are fleeced, they are just so silent and calm. Even when they bleat, sometimes they just go meh and then just stay still. That is being gentle and lowly in heart. Do not complain. Do not hate. Just silently obeying the word of God. That is gentleness. You know, in the dictionary, being gentle may be like being kind, but it's not like that. And also being humble. Jesus was equal to God, but he threw away himself, came to this world in the form of man, and died until, and obeyed until death. You know, born-again Christians, some people do a good job, but just boast about it and become proud and arrogant. I do this, why don't you do it? They say things like that, and that is not humble. That is not humble. Whether other people do it or not, whether people know that you're doing a good job or not, being silent, doing your job, and that's enough. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. If we want to learn from Jesus and follow him, we have to be gentle. We have to be lowly in heart. We have to take his yoke upon us. We have to follow him. Without taking up the yoke, we can't learn. You know, when you see calves, it takes the yoke together with the mother cow. I saw it before. They both stand together and take the yoke together. And if the mother goes, the calf follows. The mother turns, the calf goes together. And if the calf learns enough, then it could do it alone. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If we do that, we will receive the rest of the Lord. Even in sufferings, we could learn how to obey God, and there is peace we receive through obeying God. It is different from the peace the world could offer. So, says, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We have eternal glory in heaven, but we suffer for a while. It's for a while in this world. So in 2 Corinthians 4:17 it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. The affliction is light and is but for a moment, but after that, we have a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. There are many verses like that in the Bible. What is visible is temporary, what is invisible is forever. We may not see glory, but it is promised and it will last forever. Whatever we do, we should do for the glory of God. We do not live the present for the present. We live the present for the future, for eternal glory. Do not change your future eternal glory with the pleasure of the world. If we lose that, it's a great loss. When you go to heaven, you may regret forever. Who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In Job, after all his affliction was gone, Job said, Job 23 verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, when you try to find gold at a gold mine, there's a lot of impure things mixed. So to get pure gold, you put the gold in fire. I saw the purification process before. They put the gold in fire, take it out, put it in some chemicals again. And then, as it goes in and out of the fire, the impure things are getting rid of. It becomes pure gold. How does God train us? He trains us through sufferings. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. We suffer for a while, but he makes us perfect. He makes us perfect more and more. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Through sufferings, Christians are trained, disciplined. And those who are perfected like that, no matter what kind of difficulty comes, they do not give up. They do not fall down no matter what kind of test or temptation comes. Even if they die, they do not stumble. They look unto the Lord, fix their eyes on the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus gave us an example. He suffered and obeyed until death. He is the Lord of our salvation. At the same time, he makes us perfect as children of God who deserve the kingdom of heaven. He will perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. He will make us more perfect gradually. So, therefore, as the Father in heaven is perfect, we should be perfect. In Genesis 17, verse 1, God told Abram, Abram, be perfect in front of me. And he asks us the same thing. You shall be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. He does not tell us to do something that is impossible. If we want it, it could happen. He will perfect us more and more. He is the one that makes it happen. We have to want to become perfect. We should go step by step closer to the Lord. And before I realize it, I become more and more like Jesus. And when Jesus comes back, even our lowly body will be transformed into his glorious body. We know that he is coming back very soon. So for our remaining life, we should really live as his children. We should live like the children of God. We should try to become perfect like the Father in heaven is. We should try. We should give effort. We should look unto the Lord. Fix our eyes on the Lord. Don't look at the world. Don't look at the world. We are born again Christians. We should look at the Lord and the saints who were before us, and we should follow their way. Let's pray together. Our merciful Father in heaven, by your precious blood you have saved us, and for our remaining life until we enter your kingdom of heaven, you protect us and guide us. Father, we are so weak and foolish. But you are the author of our faith, and you perfect us every day. Just as you said, let's look unto you. Let us look at you until the very end. Let us follow you until the end. We want to follow you. Please help us so that we don't stumble while we follow you. Protect our way. Don't let any sin of the world rule over us. Please protect us and hold us with the power of your word and your spirit. Let us follow you, imitate you in our life, in our hearts. Let your holy form be formed inside us, inside our hearts, inside our lives. For our remaining life, let us be filled up by your word and the Holy Spirit. We rely on you and pray in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.